Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Senator John McCain running for president. We taped him this weekend at the McKinley Arts Center in Reno. And on the Power Pundit panel today, Chuck Muth, Bob Kroll, and Joe Gill. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Resort at Red Hawk and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
Since its creation more than a decade ago, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has focused on three goals: preserving water quality, improving water conservation in Southern Nevada, and meeting the community's current and future water needs. Through thoughtful planning, responsible management, and collaboration, it's succeeding. As we move into the 21st century, the authority continues to embrace sustainable water development and efficient water use. That's our promise to Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, welcome to the program, the senator from the great state of Arizona, John McCain. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
Wanted to start off with some Nevada questions for you today. Yucca Mountain, are you concerned about the safety?
I'm concerned about the safety, but I do believe that Yucca Mountain can be made safe, and I believe strongly in nuclear power, and I believe we have to have a waste repository, and I think Yucca Mountain is the place that can be made safe. I believe that it can.
How, sir? I mean,
there's widely differing views on this issue. And a lot of the scientific opinion that I respect say that Yucca Mountain can and is a place where nuclear waste can be stored for a long period of time. We've spent billions of taxpayers' dollars trying to achieve that. If it doesn't happen, then we will have a more dangerous situation, in my view, and that is nuclear waste sitting all over America in pools and ponds next to nuclear power plants and other places. And in my view, that poses a greater danger.
What about the science? I mean, the
science, I think, is pretty good. Nothing is absolutely foolproof.
But over the last couple of years, the emails that have been revealed.
Well, I don't. If there was any misbehavior on the part of anyone in government, they should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. But that doesn't mean that necessarily that Yucca Mountain is not an appropriate place.
What about the transportation? Would you be comfortable with nuclear waste coming through Arizona on its way, going through Phoenix on its way to Yucca Mountain?
No, I would not.
No, I would not. I think it can be made safe. And again, we have two options here. What people forget is the option of leaving this waste in areas outside, maybe unprotected or certainly not well protected, all over America, rather than having it in a safe and secure repository for it. I prefer not having the status quo, and I think it's also a national security issue. I think these areas would be ripe for terrorist attacks.
So you would definitely disagree with Senator Reid in continuing to cut the funding?
Definitely. And I might add that the President of the United States supported Yucca Mountain, and he was able to carry Nevada in the last election. I understand the concern that people have. I have understand the concerns that people have of storage of nuclear waste outside of Palo Verde nuclear generating plant outside Phoenix. Nothing is completely safe in this world. But I know this, that greenhouse gas emissions have been judged by literally everybody as a great threat to our planet and our health. Nuclear power is a viable and vital ingredient, in my view, if we are going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We are also incredibly dependent on foreign oil in places in the world where they don't like us very much. And nuclear power, again, is a way to reduce this terrible dependency we have on foreign oil supplies.
All right, let's move on to immigration. What are your thoughts on both legal and illegal immigration?
I think illegal immigration has to be stopped. I think we have to secure our borders, and that's our first and most foremost priority. We are working on, with the President and with other members of Congress from both sides of the aisle in the Senate, to develop a proposal which is comprehensive, which also calls for the securing of our borders first before any other action is taken. I think most people will be pleased with the proposal that I think we can come up with very soon.
And this is based on the President's original idea?
Well, it's based on a lot of people's ideas, but I'm happy to say the President is playing a leadership role and is heavily involved in the issue.
How soon does this have to move to make it through this session of Congress?
We would have to have action completed, I believe, before the August recess.
And you think this is likely?
I think we got a good shot at it.
How about in the House?
I think we got a good shot at it.
Okay, well, that's great to hear.
One reason is because everybody agrees the status quo is totally unacceptable.
Okay, to say the least, and it's certainly a huge problem in your state. Over 80% of the land in Nevada is owned by the government, federal
Same
government.
Same way as Arizona, yes.
Do you think that state and local government can do a better job of managing the lands?
I think in some areas, state and local governments are not consulted. I think state and local governments are many times overridden, and I believe that state and local governments should play a much greater role in the decisions about land within their state, county, city, whatever it is. And I've always advocated that.
Okay. The Southern Nevada Lands Act gives 5% of that money raised to education, 10% to the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and the other 85% is still routed through the government. Should Nevada get an increased share of that money?
Tell me again what...
The Southern Nevada Lands Act?
Are
you not familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, well, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about more things with Senator John McCain right here on Nevada Newsmakers.
For a videotape copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The tapes are $20 each, including shipping.
It's about more than just keeping the lights on. It's also about renewable energy. It's about using the heat from the earth to supply geothermal power throughout northern Nevada. It's about using solar energy in southern Nevada. And it's about plans for wind power in eastern Nevada. It's about what's best for our future. Sierra Pacific Power. More power to you.
Debbie, who do you use for workers' comp? Bob and I are paying a fortune and the service is terrible.
Ever since Jerry and I've been building homes, we've used ProGroup. Come to think of it, they haven't raised our rates in 10 years. They've done background checks for us and safety training. We've saved a lot of money.
Well, Bob just added more trucks and drivers, and I think it's time for a change. I'm going to call ProGroup today. Okay, spot me.
ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Two championship courses, Nature's Beauty, and Life's Distractions, Fading Away.
When you need a new employee, how can you be sure who you're really hiring? A background investigation by Employer Links will uncover criminal records, verify the applicant's education, check their credit history and Social Security verification. An investigation will research professional licenses and driver's licenses and let you know why they're unemployed. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links. protecting your investment.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with Senator John McCain here, running for president as a Republican. Homeland Security for Las Vegas, the funding was cut. What's your thought about that?
I think that it shouldn't have been cut. I think we've got a bad formula where it's based on the fact it's a graphic demonstration that every state has two senators and we should have the funding based much more on threats than any other than it is today. And I think that's true of Phoenix, Arizona, as well as Las Vegas, Nevada. Listen, let me just make one additional comment if I could.
Sure.
I'm a Western senator. Nevada and Arizona issues are almost the same. Water, land, we have a huge percentage of our state owned by the federal government, whether it be Native Americans. I've dealt with these issues all of my time, many years in the Congress of the United States. I understand Western issues. I'm the only one that truly has been involved with them and understands them. We may not agree on every issue.
Governor Richardson might disagree with you.
Well, Governor, I'm talking about Republicans. I'm the one that understands these issues. I have the knowledge and the background on them. We may have a disagreement on a specific aspect, but I certainly have the knowledge and experience and background to address them.
You attended a debate this week with nine other candidates. Mm-hmm. Is this really the best way for us to conduct an election by having this? It's almost like a circus.
I think debates are important. I think they're part of it. I wish that we'd have a chance to more expose our policy views and our overall vision for America, frankly, as opposed to whether the president should pardon Scooter Libby or not. But I think it's part of the process and part of the way we make the selection, and I'm glad to take part in it.
Were you kind of stunned that the biggest thing that came out of it in the New York Times today was the evolution question?
In a way, I thought there was more important issues that were addressed on the issue of evolution, as I said, that I believe in Darwin's theory of evolution, but when I hike the Grand Canyon, I know the hand of God is in there somewhere.
Okay. The Comptroller General was on 60 Minutes a few weeks ago talking about the coming crisis in Medicare and that no one's paying any attention to him.
That's the head of the Government Accountability Office, David Walker. He's been talking all over the country. He's right. We are not doing the hard things. If I'm President of the United States, we'll do the hard things, not the easy things.
What would the hard thing be?
Hard thing would be eliminate wasteful spending, then fix Social Security, and then fix Medicare, rather than hand it on to another generation of unluckier generation of Americans. Everybody knows they're going broke. We got to sit down, Republican and Democrat together, and fix them.
And what's the best fix?
Though you've got to sit down and negotiate those. We all know it's tough. We know that there are unfunded liabilities and trillions of dollars associated with both programs. In 1983, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill stood together in the Rose Garden and they fixed Social Security for a period of time. We have to do that again. Democrats have to work with Republicans. When I'm inaugurated, I'll reach out my hand to the Democrats, but I'll tell the American people, ask the American people to tell the Democrats to reach out their hands to me. I've worked on a bipartisan basis on many issues with many members on the other side of the aisle for a long time.
But the bottom line is we're going to have to somehow raise taxes to be able to do that, aren't we?
No, we will have to make tough decisions, but it doesn't necessarily mean we raise taxes. There's many decisions that need to be made, and everything, obviously, is we have to sit down together.
Well, if you don't raise taxes, you're going to have to cut programs.
There are many decisions that need to be made. I'm not ready until I sit down with the Democrats when we discuss this issue to say you have to do this or you don't have to do that.
Watching the Jon Stewart program, The Daily Show, last week, I, along with other people like Bill Moyers, were somewhat stunned to see what appeared to be an attack on you. What was your response to Jon Stewart?
I know that Jon Stewart feels very emotionally about this issue. He and I have known each other for a long time. I've been on his program more than any other politician. I thought it was a spirited discussion. I understand his position. I go on his show not because of Jon Stewart, but because it's a way to communicate with a younger generation of Americans. And I'm glad to do it, and I'm glad to go on that show and discuss it with him or anything else he wants to do.
Okay, so you're willing to go back?
I've been back for years. As I say, I've been appeared on his show.
Oh, no, I understand that. But I mean, after what occurred.
Oh, sure.
Did you feel that there was a difference in that interview than all the previous ones you'd done with him?
Oh, I don't know. We're not, quote, friends, but we certainly know each other well. And he has shown his respect for me and my
life. Another person that you know well and appeared on his program many times was Don Imus.
Yeah.
Did you think the punishment fit the crime?
That's up to the network and others to make that decision. What he said was obviously totally outrageous and unacceptable.
And he agreed with that, and he apologized for it many times in the week after the incident happened.
Well, I'm a great believer in redemption. I've made mistakes in my life. I've had people come to me who have made mistakes in their lives, and I'm a believer in redemption. I think that all of us make serious mistakes. I thought what he did was terrible and outrageous, but I also believe in redemption.
Does it bother you that all the good things he's done, not even going over a 30-year career, but you know, he went with you to Walter Reed Hospital. Mm-hmm. He raised $10 million mm-hmm. for the San Antonio Rehab Center, mm-hmm. the Kids with Cancer Ranch in New Mexico. How come none of this seemed to count, that everybody seemed to just leave him in the dust?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I mean, I've just, all I've done is been an observer.
Have you talked to him since then?
No.
Okay. And that's where we've got to leave it. It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you back, and we'll talk about more national issues on our next visit.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
The human brain is made up of approximately 100 billion neurons. Each neuron has thousands of ways it can connect itself to other neurons. Which means, mathematically, the number of ways your brain can interconnect itself may be virtually infinite. Something this amazing requires an equally amazing level of care. The type of care you will find at a visionary healthcare network named Renown. We are home to the only certified stroke center in Northern Nevada. We have the capability to perform same-day brain surgery. And we have joined the nation's most sophisticated technology together with the most gifted hands. Welcome to Renown Health, an amazing healthcare network capable of amazing things.
My family started this business 27 years ago.
We work hard to serve our customers and our community.
But it's getting harder and harder to keep the doors open.
For example, our workers' comp is going through the roof.
Isn't anyone on my side anymore?
The Retail Association of Nevada is. If you're a small business owner, we can cut your workers' comp by up to 50%, lobby for your interests, and keep you informed. Put us to work today.
How would you like to win a video iPod? Watch Nevada Newsmakers for the word of the day. Enter it at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Get all four weekly words correct and you're entered into the drawing. We're giving away one video iPod per week through May. Watch Nevada Newsmakers Monday through Thursday at 12:30 p.m. right here on News 4. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, another week, another video iPod to give away. The word of the day today is Bill. If you'd like to win that video iPod, go to NevadaNewsmakers.com, enter the word Bill, and you could have a chance of winning a video iPod. These guys are all writing it down. Our Power Pundit panel today, Chuck Muth is here with Chuck Muth's Nevada News and Views. Bob Kroll is here with Kama Kempfer, and attorney Joe Guild also joins us.
Morning.
So the big deal that went on at the end of last week was this green legislation. Bob, you want to get us up to speed on exactly what happened?
Well, you know what's going on there is that during the 2000 and the last legislative session, they passed legislation that would give both property and sales tax breaks for businesses that built environmentally friendly buildings and received what's called a LEED certification from the state of Nevada. And actually, that was 2005 session did that. And there was some question that The magnitude of the tax break that was given, or those who applied to get the tax break, there was some question that the magnitude of the tax break was greater than what they thought when they passed the original legislation. So what happened is last week they passed emergency legislation through both houses that essentially suspended everything to do with the lead tax breaks or anything to do with AB3 out of the special session in 2005. Today at 9 o'clock, there's a hearing in front of the Tax Commission for them to decide what they're going to do, how they're going to either put the brakes on or what they're going to do with LEAD. And I think it's going to be discussed this week as to with the legislature as to, one, do they need to make any changes to that law? Do they need to fine-tune it? What do they have to do? And that's what's going on with it right now.
Okay, now the ramifications of this are huge. I mean, major corporations.
Detrimental reliance. It's one of the things that Bob and I first learned in law school. If I budget a $100 million project based upon a sales tax of 2% and a property tax abatement going forward for the, say, 10 years of the project after it's constructed, I have a huge budget gap in my construction loan, which the banks are not going to forgive because of what the legislature did here. So I think there's a huge legal question in my mind hasn't been answered, Sam.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking is that, you know, if I'm MGM Mirage and I'm building the City Senate project for $7 billion,
right.
And I'm
exactly
doing it based upon this this tax situation, there are many other projects that go along with this, is the remedy going to be that these companies will sue the legislature?
Well, no, they don't sue the legislature. They go to court and ask for a declaratory relief action, or they sue under declaratory relief and have the courts decide whether the action of the legislature was proper or not. If I had $100 million in construction loans out there, I'd be calling my lawyers and at least discussing the issue.
Now, this was all done, certainly in the Senate, in about 45 minutes. Is that the way you're supposed to legislate? 45-minute discussion?
I guess this close to the end of the session, yeah, we were talking before we went on the air that we'd just as soon call an end to the legislature today and let's go home. And there's no money to spend, so let's do it. But I think this shows a problem with trying to use the tax code and use tax breaks for social purposes. If I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, a few years ago, Arizona had a similar problem where they passed a tax break for people if they would buy some type of fuel-efficient car or something, and it had so many people take advantage of it that it was breaking the Treasury, so they had to repeal the tax advantage. And I mean, just from a common-sense standpoint, it's like saying, we need more people, so go out and raise some more kids, and we're going to give you $2,500 per child. You go out with that understanding and bring the child into your family, and then you take it away after the fact. I don't know how the legislature can do this and get away with it.
Well, I think you guys are both right that there's a legal issue that's there. But, you know, the other side of that coin is, you know, what the legislature giveth, the legislature can theoretically maybe take away. But even if they can't take it away, are you always locked into the numbers that they projected or the types of relief that were there? I mean, I think you could make the argument that they're not always locked into a certain level of relief. I mean, they may be locked into the process and the program, but whether they're locked into particular levels of relief or abatements or something like that, I think is an open question.
But the governor's, let me just add, the governor's,
you read my mind. I was gonna bring
the governor's
up the
threatened
governor
to veto any two-thirds bill. This bill, as I understand it, was not a two-thirds designation, but if your taxes increase from the because they were abated or there was an exemption as a result of legislative action, it seems to me that's a tax increase. And the governor has stated that he may veto this. So in which case you have one of the first big issues that will be kind of color the end of the legislative session, and that is the governor's promises and the legislature's desire to and necessity and responsibility to enact a budget that is that is balanced sets up a big conflict, it seems to me.
Well, I agree with Joe that no matter how you cut it with respect to those companies who who participate in the LEAD process, the suspension of it or the repeal of it or the tinkering of it is a tax increase.
Necessity?
And I think it would be...
I want to follow up on that specific word. Is that necessity?
What's that? The veto?
No, what Joe was talking about here as far as the money goes, for the legislature to hang on to that money.
I don't want the legislature to hold on to money, as you know where I come from that, but I think the governor needs to veto this. The legislature, if they want, can override the veto, and then let Governor Givens take that into the next campaign. If he wants to campaign on that, he's going to be able to go out and say, look, it was a tax increase on people, it shouldn't have been, I vetoed the bill, the legislature overrode me. He comes out fine in this. It's the legislature that's going to look bad again.
And that's where we got to leave it. Gentlemen, a spirited discussion.
Spirited.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Four issues deep and going strong, Liberty Watch is Nevada's only conservative magazine, reader-based with an eye to the bottom line discussing Nevada's pressing issues. Firebrand George Harris speaks his mind along with syndicated writers Joe Sobrand, Walter Williams, and John Stossel. You'll meet financial expert Doug French and ride along with Senator Bob Beers in his travelogue column, On the Road, Money Matters, Book, Wine, and Dining Reviews. There's that and much more to come. Subscribe today and see for yourself. Remember, Liberty Watch magazine for today's Nevada.
You learned about our business park last year. Please celebrate our growth this year. We've started construction on the new I-80 USA Parkway interchange.
And we're extending the parkway beyond Walmart's distribution center. We're adding rail track. We've added a 2 million gallon water tank. And we're doubling the capacity of the sewer treatment plant. We're installing Northern Nevada's most advanced fiber optic communication network.
Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center,
the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Coming up on our next show, Bill Widener. He's the president of the Las Vegas Sands. They own the Venetian. It'll be a great show. Don't miss it.